WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
With so many eager fans anxiously awaiting the arrival of the newest Harry Potter novel, there was no doubt it would be a bestseller. In fact, within the first 24 hours, it became the fastest-selling book in history. Our critic at large, John Powers, is a fan, and even though he didn't join young readers waiting at midnight bookstore lines, he was tucked in bed, he understands their passion.
When the first Harry Potter novel came out 9 years ago, the whole thing seemed refreshingly innocent. Here was an unheralded little book that was discovered by kids who passed it from hand to hand like a talisman. All that seems a long, long time ago. By the time Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince was released this July 16th, the series had become a marketing event, with kids worldwide lining up at midnight to get their copy. These days, the act of buying a Harry Potter book is part of the Potter experience. Although it's easy to be cynical about such a triumph of commerce, I had a very different reaction when my 10-year-old friend Isabel told me about her midnight trip to the local bookstore. I was filled with nostalgia. You see, when I was a boy, I lived in an Iowa town so small it didn't have a grocery store. Every Thursday evening, we'd drive into Des Moines to go shopping, and on some of those trips, we'd stop at a Rexall drugstore out near the airport. It was there that they sold Hardy Boys mysteries, and as we neared the city, I would wait, heart thumping, to see if my dad would buy me a book with a suspenseful title like What Happened at Midnight or While the Clock Ticked. If he did, I'd devour the new book that same night, using a flashlight under the covers when I was supposed to be sleeping. The Hardy Boys turned me into an avid lifelong reader, for which I'll always be grateful. But the day I picked up the first Harry Potter novel, I realized how much luckier children are today. Although we keep hearing complaints that we're in an era of cultural decline, that everything is dumber and crasser than it used to be, this series is actually incomparably richer and more intelligent than the kids' books I used to read. In fact, the series is one gigantic bildungsroman, to use the lit crit jargon, the story of Harry's moral, psychological, and intellectual growth. Where the first books were filled with delights, we see Harry discover his amazing powers and explore the enchanted world of Hogwarts, the later books take him ever deeper into the murky depths of experience. Harry's friends die. The father he idolizes turns out to have been an arrogant bully. Hogwarts, like youth itself, is starting to fade. And even Harry is no longer an unalloyed nice guy. He learns that there's no small cost to that lightning flash birthmark on his forehead. All this is a far cry from the Hardy Boys. Through 40 mysteries, nothing ever changed in Frank and Joe's world. Least of all, Frank and Joe. In contrast, J.K. Rowling's work not only touches on all sorts of modern preoccupations, we feel the shadow of terrorism, but it offers a level of moral complexity and transformation missing from most adult bestsellers. Tom Clancy or Janet Ivanovich would be vastly better writers if they could give their heroes' adventures half the psychological depth of Harry's. Now, there is, of course, something extremely seductive about stories set in a static universe. It's reassuring that the Hardy Boys, 007, and Ray Romano are always the same. We like it that smug William Peterson invariably solves the crime on CSI, and that Larry David is perpetually aggrieved. Yet such static storytelling seems increasingly stale. We're living at a time when audiences are turned on by stories that show people and situations changing, often irrevocably. That's one reason why the HBO dramas have become such powerful cultural touchstones, the contemporary version of Dickens' serialized novels. From episode to episode, shows like The Sopranos, 6 Feet Under, The Wire, and Deadwood give you a world in the process of transformation. Fortunes rise and fall. Love blossoms and fades. Popular characters die or get whacked. In his book, Everything Bad is Good for You, Stephen Johnson argues that such transformational shows like The Sopranos actually make us smarter, at least compared to static ones like Law and Order, let alone Macmillan and Wife. I don't know about that, but I do know that there's no more thrilling experience in art than getting sucked into a story about how a hero grows into his or her destiny, with all the delights, disappointments, and surprises that such growth brings. And this experience is never more thrilling than the first time it happens, when you're a kid just discovering the full power of stories. which is why when my young friend Isabel began gushing about the new Harry Potter, I didn't only feel nostalgia. I felt envy.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue. His book about American culture, Sore Winners, will be available in paperback next week.